2 Corinthians chapter 10. Glory to God. We're going to talk about the giants that are in the land and what to do with them, what they represent. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's a big verse in itself. You can't deal with spiritual problems in the natural. You deal with spiritual problems in the spirit. Amen. We employ the weapons of our warfare, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't originate in the natural. They don't originate in the carnal realm, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds, he tells you what they are, and casting down imaginations. Now, this particular imagination's not going down around all day long every 5 minutes when some kind of thought comes into your mind that's contrary to God, and I cast it down, I cast it down, I cast it down, I cast it down. You're not going to live a very healthy life like that. It's not really balanced. That's not what he's speaking about. The imaginations he's talking about are whole systems, thought structures, actions that produce their reactions, their behavior patterns, their natural, repetitive, systematic thought structures in our life called strongholds. Now, when these things are torn down, what I've realized is that every time God can truly tear one down, things happen in our life. Automatically, the Holy Ghost gets released to manifest the blessings of God, to manifest the inheritance, to manifest our future. So what we're going to look at is we're going to go into the promised land where there giants were, because God says, I give you a land of milk and honey. But there's giants there. But to God, the giants weren't giants. God just said, there's some inhabitants. You got to drive them out. Now, when they get there, they see giants and they see very large inhabitants, and they have some very weird names, but each one of these represents something. And when you study them out, they represent certain strongholds that you and I face on a daily, weekly, or yearly basis. And the key is we have to tear these down, not just resist them all the time. They have to be torn down, recognized and torn down. And you can't do that in the natural. They have to be torn down in the spirit. Amen? And when it happens, it happens. I know, it just happened to me recently. You know about that, so we don't have to keep going. Although that particular part I'm going to get into is one of the giants. So go over to Deuteronomy 7. And I'm going to take you to Numbers 13. So Deuteronomy 7 verse 1 said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee. See, God's already done it. God always works from a finished work. From his perspective, I already cast them out. You just got to go and finish it. Amen. Because God's always working from a finished work. When he says it to him, it's just done. It's already finished. Although the warfare might be in front of you, the battle might be in front of you, you still have to perform the doing of it. To God, it's already done. So he already cast them out. Now notice the names of these. He says the Hittites, the Gergesites. How'd you like to be? Where are you from? Well, I'm a Gergesite. Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites. You can say parasites, all the ites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations. Now notice this. He says, I've already cast them out, but they're greater and more mightier than now. So you got to listen to what God says. In the natural, they're greater than you. In the natural, they're mightier than you. And if you ever deal and have a runaround with a stronghold, and there's times that they seem like they're going to empower you, but to God, they're not more powerful. Amen? To you, they're a mountain until it gets moved. And when it gets moved, it's no longer a mountain. It's a molehill. And so you can't deal with these things because they're spiritual in nature. They're demonic oftentimes in nature. They're structural thought systems that have to be torn down by the living God, by the weapons of our warfare, by the Word of God. Now, here's one of the things I found out. To those who have a very close relationship with God, the closer you get to God, the light's going to shine in to these areas. Amen? Now, I'll give you a revelation. God is not going to take all of these down in one day. And I'll give you another revelation. Each and every one of us have a certain capacity for some of these. Some of these capacities you have no capacity for whatsoever. But some of them you do. Amen? But to say, oh, that's not me. If I go down the line here today and you go like this, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. Oh, that's you. That's not me. That's definitely you. It probably is you. You're blockading it. You're deflecting. Your defense. It's okay to have issues. I've had some. God's working them out. Amen. Oh my God, when you called me, I said, I was not ready for this. He goes, I know. I just wanted to perfect you. I said, like, you could have done that privately, you know. But now listen, you got to let God work on these areas, because the key to your promotion, the key to your future, the key to your life and the fulfillment of your calling is to move through these areas. For every level, there's a new devil. Amen. But there's also some things God wants to change in us. And so what happens, tendency is we want to go change things in order to produce that future, but we got to let God work on us. He's going to be adding to you. He's going to be building things. He's going to be constructing things in the spirit. He's going to be tearing down things. Now, what he wants to tear down is the ites. We have an ite problem. Amen? But God wants to deal with the ites and drive them out. So we're going to look into the ites today. So there's seven listed there. And now Numbers 13, when he sent him in the promised land, you don't have to go over there, but you can read it later. When he sent him in the promised land, when Moses said, go and bring us the fruit of the land, and the spies went in, they met the same ites that were listed in Deuteronomy, but there's two more that they saw in Numbers 13 we're going to look at. One was the Amalekites. I'll read you these two verses, Numbers 13, 28. It says, nevertheless, the people be strong. This is their report. When God sent them in, he already told them, I'm giving you the land. There's giants, but I've already taken care of them. I send the hornets before you, he said. I send the hornets before you to drive them out. Amen. Oh, glory to God. He says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, in Texas, it's Anak. If you're from the north, it's Onik. But it's Texas, it's Anak. I've already had like 10 people say, you know, the proper pronunciation as Onik. I said, no, it is not. It is Anak. If you're from the north, we love you. You get it. So it's Anak and Onik. Okay, before we get into this, go to Isaiah 41. Let me explain something to you while you're going over Isaiah 41. When you allow God to tear down these structural thought systems, behaviors, actions, and reactions, whenever you do, you're going to have an automatic promotion. You're going to have automatic blessings flow to you. You're not even going to have to work at it. The things you've been praying for, believing for you, they'll just automatically release. We've already seen automatic release. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen it already. And we're going to see a lot more. We've seen it release publicly, corporately. We've seen things change in the atmosphere because God was able to change us, me in particular. And so when we allow God to change us, you're going to see things that you've been wanting to see. Otherwise, sometimes when you have a stronghold, the greatest sign you have one, or God's working on one, is you're going around the same mountain all the time. You're in the same circumstance, in the same situation, constantly, constantly. And now, a lot of us deal with these situations differently. We have certain actions, how we deal with it, but we're going to have to let God enter into these areas, amen, and bring the permanent change by the casting down of the structural system, the system of thought, or the imaginations that's holding us captive. So let's look at some of these and see if you can relate, amen. Now, Isaiah 41, verse 15 says, behold, I make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth. I mean, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth, thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Everyone say, thresh the mountains. Ah, I like it. Hallelujah. All right, so the first one we're going to look at today, I'll get a little technical, Hittites. We're going to look at Hittites first because it's one of the more powerful ones of the group. Sometimes you've got to get all the way down to the root word of what these words mean. Sometimes you got to run them. If you know how to do the Strong's Concordance, you got to keep running the numbers so you get down to the root. Because the root of it is where it's coming from. And it's coming from a root word of kothath. It means, listen to this, to break down either by violence or figuratively by confusion and fear, to affright, to make afraid, discourage, to cause dismay, to scare, to terrify. The Hittite is fear. It is the root of fear. And for us to fully inherit in the promised land, that strong man, giant, has to be torn down. Now that's a big one. God deals with those in stages. All of them have fear that manifests in different ways. But sometimes it's stronger than others. But as we allow God, what it says, perfect love, casting out all fears, we start moving into God, and His love is growing up in us, and His word is growing up. See, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And it's that light that brings these areas into accountability in our life. Sometimes, many times, oftentimes, we have these things, but we can't see them. Because there's certain areas we walk in the light in, and there's certain areas we walk in darkness in. If you're in darkness, you can't see it. That's just the nature of darkness. I pastored 15 years and couldn't see what God was trying to root out of me. Others could see it, but I couldn't see it. But when you get closer and closer to God, and you're moving in the word, and you're moving in prayer, and you're moving towards Him, you're going to come into the light, because God is light. He's going to start opening these areas up. Amen. And He's going to tear them down. Glory to God. I want to look at another one. This is the powerful one. The Amorites, say Amorites, comes from Emori, say Emori. Amorites comes from a root, Emori, or Emori. It means a mountaineer, a dweller of summits, an elevated one, pride. An elevated one wants to dwell in the summits. What does Jesus say? Take the lowest seat. He goes, if you take the lowest seat, then God says, friend, come up higher. So friend, come up higher. But the mountaineer or the Amorite wants to take the mountain. He wants to dwell in the summit. Everybody wants to dwell on the summit. But you got to let God put you there. Amen. But that pride, when it's moving in pride, it's the elevated place. And pride is a very, very destructive stronghold because we can't see it. And it'll go before a fall. It's a very dark stronghold. And also, there's another one of Omar. It actually has a dual meaning. And it means a sayer. To boast, to speak against, to challenge. Pride always moves with the spirit of rebellion. Rebellion and pride, and really the Amorite spirit is pride and rebellion. Now, sometimes we have to allow God to let us see certain things, because I have never met a proud person that actually can admit I'm proud. I've never seen it. Usually when you confront pride, you're confronting an elevated one. And they don't listen. Because what's the opposite of pride? Humility. So you don't normally see pride and humility running together. What's the only way to overcome pride? Humility. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. My experience, when there's pride, pride can't hear because it also runs with rebellion. So you have the pride factor and it rebels. The Amorite spirit will pride and rebellion. Now, this type of spirit usually has to be broken. Usually, you're not going to be able to work something out like that, because the nature of it is I don't listen. Amen. The nature of it, too, is there's not a proud person I've ever met, myself included, that actually believed I had pride. But I operate many, many, many times in pride. In the ministry, there's times that the Lord was trying to deal with things and I couldn't see it. I can see it now because I went under the light of heaven. I went under the microscope of heaven. I went to the judgment seat of Christ. He showed me this stuff. You ever gone to the judgment seat of Christ? You want to grind your life to powder. It's not a fun place, but the change is wonderful. Amen. But it's like going into surgery, you know, and in midway through the surgery, I quit, no more. And he said, no, we're not done yet, you know, but you see that Amorite spirit. And many times you're not going to see somebody be able to deal with something like that until they go through a season of brokenness. Because it's the only way for them to see it is they have to break down the wall so they can begin to see. They have to come off that elevated position. Amen? They got to come off the summit. But what was Jesus's answer in the beginning is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Be clothed in humility. So, for a person that operates in pride and rebellion, guess what? You're going to have plenty of opportunities to be clothed in humility. They're going to present themselves often to a person that operates in pride. Oftentimes, they're going to constantly be surrounded with situations that's going to cause a humility in their life. It's the only way to break it down. But there's a better way. And I'm not getting a lot of amens on this. We'll move on in a minute. I understand, but the easier way is begin humbling yourself. Clothe in humility. Realize that you're not perfect. Realize that you might have some things you have to deal with. And change the way you deal with it. Change the thought structure, because sometimes we get so familiar in the way we deal things. Like my action was to isolate and justify. Anytime I encountered any kind of thing, I'd isolate. And then when you isolate, you can justify anything. You can think anything you want because there's nobody speaking into your life in a form that is pride. Amen? Everyone say amen. Amen. All right, here's another really powerful, well, in the darkness it's powerful, in the light it has no power. The Canaanite spirit. The Canaanite spirit. This comes from the root word of kanah. Kanah. It means to bend the knee, to humiliate, to bring down low into subjection, to subdue. Pastor George brought out this was condemnation, guilt, and shame. And I'll add control and manipulation. The forces of condemnation and guilt and shame. If you've ever seen anybody go through some things and they carry the shame of their past and the guilt of their past and the condemnation, these are strong men occupying areas that is exalting themselves against the knowledge of Christ. And the guilt, the shame and the condemnation. Sometimes things happen in our life. Sometimes we make terrible mistakes. And when we do, they can affect us for a year on out. Sometimes some people are walking in a mistake that happened 10 years ago. They're just clothed in the reproach of it. They're clothed in the shame of it. They're clothed in the guilt of it. They're clothed in the condemnation of it, and they can't get over it. Even us in the ministry, we do things, we pass through things, and we carry things that we shouldn't be carrying, because that strong man, that Canaanite spirit, wants to clothe us in that. Because you, when you're clothed, you bow down under that. When you bend the knee in humiliation and the shame of it and the guilt and the condemnation, you can't be free when there's condemnation. When you're clothed in guilt, in shame and condemnation, and guilt is actually a form of trying to pay the price of our sin, that the only one that can pay the price is the Lord himself. Everyone say amen. See, we have guilt and we want to beat ourselves up for what we've done. When you've made terrible mistakes, whether they're family, relationships, financial, and you have gone off a deep end in areas, deep sin or whatever, when this happens, sometimes you want to beat yourself up. I mean, the shame, the guilt of it, and it's either you're not qualified to bear the price of your mistakes. You can beat yourself up all your life, but you're carrying something that's going to squelch the kingdom of God. And I want to say this. That every one of these areas will blockade the flow of the kingdom of God. When these things are in rule and we can't see them, they block the flow. So we pray, we're asking, we're looking, we're seeking. One guy's over here and the kingdom just manifesting. And the other guy, they're all plugged up.
because there's strongholds that's plugging us up. And these things have to be torn down. And like I said, God's not going to tear them all down at one time. But he is going to tear them down. Let me tell you something. God is not about you living your whole life the way you want to live it. Have you figured that out yet? Now, you can rebel against his process, and when you do, it's going to get very frustrating for you. But God is not just about having your life, your cake, and to eat it too. The thing about God is you submit your life to him. You take up your cross and follow him, and in doing so, he is going to build you. He is going to add to you. He's going to perfect you. He's going to bless you. He's going to promote you, but he's also going to tear some things down. Everyone said amen. It's not always about hearing how great you are. Because I know you're great. It's not always about, I know you. He loves you. He loves you enough to change you. He loves you enough to show you things. I mean, if you have a child and you see a character issue, are you going to let them have that all their life? Why? As a parent, you already know as they grow up, the destructive part of that character issue, you may have already been there. You may have already done that. You may already have that t-shirt. So you want to help change that child. Though it might cost a little pain for that child to get it changed then, but when they grow up, they'll be a much better person. Amen? Same way with God. He can see things that we can't see. And because of that, he wants to address these areas in our life before they take over and bring destruction. Amen? So those who will let God have his way, he'll bring us into fullness to everyone. These that God's able to tear down, there's always a promotion on the other side. There's always a blessing on the other side. There's always that thing you've been wanting, but you never could attain. Ever when you walk with God, and it's like, God, why is it just seems always out of reach? It's right there. It's like when your presence is on me, I feel like I'm right there. But it's just out of reach for the manifestation. It's because something's blocking it. He's not denying you. He's got to change the area in you. You got to let him have it. Everyone say, hey. That's another one. So we got booyah, we got amen, and we got hey. Oh, next one, the Gergesite. They're all parasites. The Gergesite, or the Gergesite, it's mentioned both times, both ways. Now, this is a very interesting one. I studied this one out yesterday for quite some time, and I couldn't get it. Pastor George brought out, just sharing this with us, he brought out, it was discouragement. And I was looking at it, very heavy, and it comes from the Hebrew word Gergeshi. Everyone say Gergeshi. This is what it means. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? Because the Gergeshi means dwelling on a clay soil, or dwelling in clay soil. Dwelling in clay soil. Very specific, all translations. I said, what is that? And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, this is the one with the unstable foundation. It was not built upon a rock. And there'll be much discouragement because of that. But when you're building on a foundation that's not set upon a rock, when it's unstable, it's going to be unstable all the time. There's going to be instability. When you see somebody, their life is unstable. There's no solidification in relationships. There's no solidification in finances. There's no solidification in certain areas. It's just instability running. It's because there's a Gergesite foundation. There's a stronghold of a Gergesite stronghold that's operating, and something in your foundation is wrong, and you're building on clay and not on the rock. And because of that, God can't build, and you want him to build. You're praying for him to build. And sometimes we get the thing, he's like, God will just come down and change it all. But you're going to have to let him get down in there. And you're going to have to change that clay to rock. That means you got to dig. You want to dig, dig, dig. I've been watching that show, Gold Rush. That's a great show. This is on tonight's romantic evening on Friday nights. She goes, oh, how romantic, darling. Them guys are finding the gold finally. These guys didn't know nothing. When they first started following the leader, and I'm like, look at that guy. He don't know anything. I mean, he's learning every mistake as he's gone for 2 years, he keeps learning mistakes. I'm like, you think he would have read a book before he started? I think they just went out there and thought they're going to find some gold. And finally, they're learning. And, you know, that's sometimes like ministry. God will put you out there and you don't know anything that's in front of you. You think all I'm going to do is find gold. And then all the heartache and the pain of finding gold, because you got to learn some things you didn't know before. You know what? They had some strongholds. And one of their biggest issues is lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. And you know, when they really, really started taking off, when they went and found somebody and knew what they were talking about, they've been doing it for a while and listened to them and sat down, and they bring them in and pay them, consult with them, and says, now what are we doing wrong? And they've been working at it for weeks. One of them was digging a whole trench. They spent a whole week digging a place out, because you got to dig 8 foot down. That's why I got into it. You got to get into the bedrock. And they dug, and then some guy comes out there and goes, oh, this has already been mined. You see that right there? And he points out three things, and it's like, they could have brought him out 7 days earlier. They wasted, six of them wasted 7 days and found out it was already mined. That's what we do. We dig in the wrong place. We're digging in the wrong place. But here, when there's a gergesite and you're on clay soil, you got to get it out of the way. You got to get down in the bedrock. You got to get a foundation of the Word of God, a foundation of relationships, a foundation of financial stability. And when there's instability, you don't have to look any further. When you have an area in your life that's unstable, you got to camp right there and say, okay, God, show me why it's unstable. To me, the way I dealt with it, I just kept praying, okay, God, come on, build. He said, I can't build, you're on clay. You got something wrong in your foundation. What I should have been doing is said, light. I should have said, Pastor Chuck, what do you see here? Anna, what do you see here? Sometimes you won't do that. I'm going to get into the independent spirit in a minute. But listen, that is hard to do when you're accustomed to dealing with things by yourself. You see, it's like, bring it into the light. Why is this area unstable? Find somebody that's stable in that area and let them look into your life. Put a flashlight in their hand and say, show me what's wrong with me here. Why am I continually unstable in this area? Well, now here's how you justify. You go to another area and you're stable. Say, well, I'm good over here. I'm good over here, so it's just that little area over there, but that's the little fox that's spoiling the vine because it's in the foundation. You got a gergesite problem. You got a parasite and a gergesite problem. You got to drive them out. You can't leave them there and expect to inherit the promised land. It's not going to work. Amen? Got to let him look into that area. It's okay when you come into the light. You stop hiding. Amen? All right, we're going to get into the parasites. We got some things hanging around. What we learn to do is put up with them instead of stomp them out. Sometimes you got to get somebody a little more skilled than yourself to get rid of things, because you're not all that. So the parasites. Now, this is a very interesting one. It begins, the parasites, there's three of them I'm going to work with today. They're three, and they go down into the root of the word, parazi. And then there's parazol, and there's paraz. Parazi means an inhabitant of the open country. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, well, that doesn't really make sense to me. Inhabitant of the open country. Inhabitant of the open country. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Inhabitant of the open country. And then I had to go down to the next one, was parazol. It was the root of parazi. Now it says, look at this, a town or village without walls. It was unwalled. Now you're going to love this as we get into this. It's awesome. It's an inhabitant of an open country that dwells outside of the city, and it's without walls. They want to dwell in a place without walls, without restraint. Now, the big one is the root of parazol is paraz. It's called paraz. This is the root of them, all of them. And it means, the root meaning to separate. It also means a chieftain or a warrior. And I'm going along, What does all this mean? Okay, a dweller in the open country, he wants to dwell without walls. He wants to be away from the inhabitants. He wants to be away from the city. It is separation. He's a chieftain and a warrior. I'm like, there it is. It's the independent spirit. It does not want to dwell in the place of inhabitants. It wants to dwell in a place without any level of restriction. No walls. Don't be putting the walls. Now, these are not the bad walls. These are the good walls. The walls that build restraint in areas and the walls of fellowship. It wants to dwell in an open country. It does not want to dwell and inhabit. It wants to separate. It's a chieftain and a warrior. I am the man. I am the chieftain. I am the warrior, and I dwell without. That independent spirit that's operating, that spirit right there will cause more damage than any other spirit. And you know why? Because the independent spirit does not dwell in a cohabited place with another. It won't cohabit. There won't be any level of real relationship. It's always me, myself, and God. You ever seen that? I'm a chieftain. I'm a warrior in my own mind. The independent spirit, they're legends in their own mind. They live in their own little place without walls, way out in the open country. Just don't get me cohabiting because you might discover something about me. When someone has an independent spirit, they'll fiercely protect that place. Because they're not going to come into fellowship. And it really is based majorly out of fear. That independent spirit, when it's operating, it's a chieftain, it's a warrior, and it'll protect that area. Now, I have something else I want to add to this. Now, go to Joshua 17, because Pastor George brought out, I believe you said it was confusion, didn't you? I'm going to show you how this thing operates in confusion, because I saw this connected to Joshua 17. Joshua 17, verse 14. Now, they're in the promised land. Children of Joseph go to Joshua. And it spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot, one portion to inherit, seeing that I'm a great people, for as much as the Lord has blessed me hitherto? You know, after all, they're saying, if it wasn't for our father Joseph, you wouldn't even be here. So when they get in the promised land, they're not happy with what Joshua gave them. They wanted more, and they came to Joshua. We don't like this. You know what Joshua told them? He didn't say, you unthankful. He says, your land be too narrow? This is awesome. He goes, you want more? You want more? You're going to have to take on the big daddy of them all. You're going to have to go where the parasites are. Now, notice where they dwell. Amazing verse. And Joshua answered them, if you be such a great people, you don't come complaining to me. Here's a big land out there. Get all of you want. Just have to go up to the wood country. Now notice what he says. Oh, your land be too narrow. So here's Joshua's answer to more, to increase. And I found out it was an answer to many of my prayers too. Dealing with this. And Joshua answered them, verse 15, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country. And cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Get up to the wood country. The Perizzite dwells in many of your Bibles say forest. They dwell in a forest of confusion because the independent spirit, it knows everything. It won't inhabit with anybody. Therefore, it won't listen to anybody. It does things my way or the highway. And most often it's the highway. On the independent spirit. Because it'll always meet. And when they're living on the highway, they're living confused. Because they're in a forest they can't see their way out of. And if you want more, if you want more, and you want promotion, and you want increase, you're going to have to drive that out of your life. It's going to require you to be uncomfortable. It's going to require that you start coexisting with others. It's going to require you start coming into relationships and not doing your own thing, your own way. It's going to require that you submit. It goes with pride a lot because you've got to humble yourself and start coexisting because the independent spirit does not want anybody to tell them how to do things. He wants to live in open country. Don't want anybody around them because they're a wall and they're fierce. They're a chieftain. They're a warrior. They're creating the atmosphere of independence. And when they live in that side, everything is truth to that spirit. To them, everything's truth because they're the only ones they listen to. When you got an independent spirit, you are the only counselor you listen to. You're not in a multitude of counselors because you're too independent for it. So you are the only one you listen to. Here's the problem. You might get it wrong. If you're the only counselor, an independent spirit will never receive counsel from a multitude. It won't do it. It fiercely, it's a chieftain. It's got that chieftain warrior thing going. It wants to dwell in the open country. And Joshua said, if you want more, you got to go in the forest and clear it out. You got to clear the forest, the confusion out. You got to clear the independence and confusion out so you can see again. Nobody sees in the forest. You got to pave that way. That parasite anointing, that parasite stronghold is dwelling in the land. If you want more, you're going to have to drive that out. And you're going to have to clear the forest out. That's not an easy thing to do. Especially if you're your only counselor. Well, I take counsel from myself. Oh, yeah, God there. What the independent spirit does not recognize is they're always me and God. Me and God. The problem is God to them has come so familiar because there's no other counselor. You got to realize something. It was very painful for me to realize God speaks in a multitude of counselors. Sometimes we're asking God, why is my life all messed up? Why is my life? Because you're taking counsel from yourself. You keep taking the same counsel because you're living in an open country. And sometimes what's God is not God. And sometimes people can be screaming it to you, but you can't hear it because it won't dwell. It won't cohabitate with others. It's confused in a land of wilderness. It's really confusion. You just don't know you're confused. It's hard to take counsel from your own self and live in confusion all your life because you're in a forest. You can't see out of the forest. And you won't let anybody else show you how to get out. And if you're going to win the battle, you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to drive out the parasites, clear the forest where you can see. And many times the independent spirit, what happens is, well, God will deal with it. Most of the time to deal with an independent spirit's like pride, it has to be broken. And you have to learn to start trusting and listening to someone else. Speaking to your life, you have to have some kind of accountability to let someone tell you something that you can trust. Generally, an independent spirit's there because somebody's deeply wounded in you and you've got walls all around you. You won't cohabitate. When you have like that, most of your counsel is going to come from yourself and what you consider the voice of God. And many times you'll get it wrong. And another thing you'll see with the independent spirit, more often times than not, you'll see areas that are very out of order in their life. But they can't see it because they're dwelling in the forest. There's confusion setting in. You see how that works? And the only answer to the independent spirit is get into the city. Get into the congregation. Get into relationships with people. Stop dwelling on your own. Stop, because you're not going to ever win that battle like that. Start developing relationships, healthy relationships. That's what church is for. Amen? You develop a healthy relationship in the family, with friends, with spiritual authority. Start developing and cohabitate. Some people won't even let you hug them. The independent spirit doesn't realize, but they take counsel from themselves 24 hours a day. They call it God, but really it's their soul mechanism. And they attribute so much to the voice of God, but others can't reach over that and speak in. They can't get in. They don't want anybody in. They want to dwell in the open country. Get in the city. Get around people. Start listening. Develop relationships. You'll find once you start healthy again, things will start coming into order. It's amazing when these things are there, we can't inhabit certain areas of the promised land because these strong men are occupying. That's why God said, when you get in there, drive them all out. Make no covenant with them. Show them no mercy. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah.